that I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayers. In the midst of all the problems and burdens of this life, I will call upon the one who can get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, Lord, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plans you had for me. But I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, Lord, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm.
Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Brother Perry. Douglas, do me a favor, come here. Give me one of those tissues down there. I can't jump down there. Thank you, sir. Actually, could you put it right here? Could you put it like right here? Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Douglas. Oh, yeah, Brother Perry, if you weren't here, I was jumping. But thank God you're here. Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, we read this quite often. We read this every time. We go through this every time when we have the Lord's Supper here at Liberty Baptist Church. And it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance," get that, "in remembrance of me." We actually have that on this, on the Lord's Supper's table right down here. We do this in remembrance. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Once again, in remembrance of me. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy. Fill me with thy Spirit, Lord. I pray that, dear God, that you do a work today. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, self-examination here in verse 28, when it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I've been sitting in the day of the Lord's Supper, and that we're about to partake in the Lord's Supper. And there has actually been times where immediately I went, oh, I got to get it all right. And if it ain't all right, I better pray. And Lord, reveal these things to me. What's wrong in my life? Is there something that I need to get settled? Is there some ought that I have towards a brother or a sister in Christ? I mean, am I not doing this, or am I doing this, and I need to, you know, forsake it or you know, repent and ask for forgiveness for this? I want to get it all right, because the Bible tells us that we're to examine ourselves, because if we do it unworthily, it tells us that many are sick and they're weak and they're sickly and many sleep. I mean, and if they do it unworthily, they drink damnation unto themselves. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I don't want to get this wrong. You know, I mean, I don't take it lightly. I don't sit there and think to myself, I'm good. Bring it. Give me some of that bread. Yeah. You know, oh yeah. Bring that juice. You know, juice. Did you hear me? It's not, you know, wine with fermentation. That's a sign of, that's corruption. They allow it to ferment, and that's not an actual sign. That's not an actual good symbol of the pure blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So I actually take it really seriously. I mean, I don't allow my kids to go at it, you know, flippantly. I don't let them, you know, oh, yeah, we get to eat. And, you know, I know that the kids afterwards, they like to go collect the cups, you know, and they get excited about that. That I don't mind, but I've never seen any children, you know, go collecting the cups and start, you know, trying to make one full cup for them. I've never seen that. If I did, I'd be like, Mom, Dad, I don't know about that, but you might just want to get them a juice on the way home. Or here, you know what, here's $1.50, go buy them a juice on the way home. This is something that, you know, we have a preacher that wants to make sure that we teach our children right, and we actually can use it as something that would, you know, help them to understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. But I begin to have this self-examination immediately. Now, I know that they've got these clinics, these med clinics and these Concentras and these well meds that you run in. And I mean, they're like a drive-through, you know, they're like a fast food drive-through. You know, you notice that when you go in there, you're like, oh, this is my problem. And oh, this is going on. They're like, oh, yeah, we don't do that here. We're going to send you to a hospital. It's like, what? I mean, you're just going to prescribe me some ibuprofen or something, you know, put a Band-Aid on it, you know. They don't have a whole lot of the major facilities to do a lot of things. You know, some of them, they'll have like x-ray machines and things that, and they'll actually, you know, after they, and all of them, they take your vitals. And it's like, awesome. Yes, I'm breathing. My heart's beating, you know, my temperature, things like that. They take your vitals, but they're very, very basic. Okay. So I do this self-examination that's, you know, pretty vague and basic. Lord, if there's something that I'm unaware of, if there's something that's going on, I want to get it right. I want to get it right. But as a Christian, spiritually, you may need to realize that, hey, I need to examine myself on a daily basis. As I wake up in the morning, you know, you may actually physically wake up in the morning, you don't feel so good. You know, you may, something's off. Something just doesn't feel right. You know, you step out of bed and you hit, you know, flat on your face. You realize your leg didn't actually wake up with you. It's still asleep. You know, I don't know if you've ever felt like the pirate peg leg. You know what I mean? It's like, man, wake up. Come on. Get going. You know, you get out of bed and all of a sudden you realize, you know, whoa, why is that back? It's just something. I slept wrong. Oh, what did I do? You know, you begin to think like, what did I do wrong? What happened the day before? Last night, unfortunately, I was out in the woods at Brother Block's, and I was covering up a cow that had died. One of the cows had died. And I'm always, every time Brother Block leaves, I'm always worried about something, you know, something coming up dead. One of his animals and dying on my watch. And I'm like, you know, oh, no. Okay. Well, Brother Block, when he had come back from Missouri, he had said, "Have you seen this cow?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd seen this cow. Yeah, I saw her right out there. She was going to have a calf soon. It was the longhorn knucklehead." And I was like, "Yeah, I've seen her. She was out there by my pond." And she was. I saw her there. I actually took a picture while he was still in Missouri and sent a picture of her in the picture, because I was like, "Oh, this is a cool picture. I'm going to take it, make sure she's in the picture. She's in the way foreground or background." And so I was like, awesome. And then I realized when Brother Block got back and he had asked about her, I said, "I'm not exactly sure where she's at, you know." Well, it turns out that she passed away on the property back behind my pond, and Brother Block hadn't left yet. So I actually asked Brother Torres if that one was on me. You know, did something pass away while I was here on watch and he was gone? Because usually I have to call him up and say, "Yeah, chicken died," you know. It happened. The chicken died one day before he got back. Now he's down to one chicken and several chicks. So then, all of a sudden, he leaves again. 2 hours after he's gone. 2 hours after he's gone, I go to do the chores. And sure enough, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, there's the baby chicks. And there's a snake in the baby chick pen." Okay. So I'm like, you're not going to do it. Grab that snake by the tail, because there were no rattles. Pull it out, and guess what? There's a baby chick in its mouth. And I'm like, great. Well, I don't have to worry about the rest of the week. Something's already gone. So pray for me. Pray for Brother Block. Pray for the property. But I noticed after shoveling onto that cow, after spreading lime on that cow, and walking back to the four-wheeler, because I couldn't get the four-wheeler all the way back there, and then getting to the house, that I was extremely sore. My legs felt like they were on fire. And I thought to myself, "Wow, you are so out of shape. What did you do wrong?" And it turns out I was able to examine some things, and I realized, no, it wasn't something I did today. It was something that I did the day before. You see, whenever I work out, it's not the same day that I feel sore. It's usually the next day in the evening that I feel the sorest. That's when I feel, you know, my muscles are really taxed. So that work I was doing, I'm still going to pay for that. But what I was paying for, you know, this morning and last night was prior to it. So when we examine ourselves and we wake up and we feel like something's wrong, guess what? We need to spiritually examine and say, what's going on? There's some things that aren't taking place that I'm not doing. Most of us here may take some sort of supplement or vitamins. Raise your hand as a testimony of that. I think I take about 13 to 14 different things. One happens to be like, you take six. You know, it's like, really? Why couldn't they just give me a big one? You know, because it'd probably be that big, but they say to take six of these particular collagen, I think it is. And then one of the vitamin D is like this big, you know. I mean, that big. And it's like, wow, that's a glass of milk? I mean, wow, that's so tiny. But so you take something. You wake up in the morning. Either you take some in the morning. My mother-in-law, she would have, you know, her breakfast right in front of her. And then she'd have a little pile of pills in front of her. And she'd take those. And then there'd be another time, then she'd take some on an empty stomach, and because it'd tell you, take these after you've eaten, take these out an empty stomach, you know. And so that's what she would do. Well, Mom got me the little, you know, checklist for each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, the different days. Now, sometimes I forget, and so I'll skip that day. And, you know, you see mine, there's like a bunch of pills and no pills, no pills, bunch of pills, and, you know. So in our spiritual walk, we need to say, all right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, am I continuing to take the things that are gonna keep me healthy as a Christian? Now, everybody knows there's some basic things: prayer, Bible reading, tithing, church attendance, you know, your witnessing. You've got to have these things to have just a normal, basic, healthy walk. You got to have these. If you don't have these, guess what? You're going to start seeing the effects of you missing out on one of those. Just like if you're not taking your vitamins, if you're not taking your supplements, if you're not getting those certain things or nutrients into your body, you know, whether it be through raw foods and things like that, if you're not getting those things in, you know what? Your joints may begin to hurt. You know, your bones can become brittle and break a lot easier. You take a fall and you don't bounce anymore. You crack, you know. I mean, there's some things that we need to check. Now, like I said, I'd come to that moment where we're having the Lord's Supper tonight. Have I been prayed up? That was the first one. Prayer. You know, prayer. Are we praying daily? You know, the Bible says that we're to try to have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Well, guess what? Through prayer, you telling God, laying your petitions to Him, thanking God, you know, those things right there, that can help you to have peace. Because you see, as you pray to God and you take your problem, your plight, your troubles to the Lord, you know what? God can just, hey, I've got this. Do you remember Elijah? You remember Elijah, a man of like passions? I mean, he prayed and it ceased to stop raining. And then when he prayed and asked for rain, God sent it. This is Elijah. This is a man of God and a prophet. And you're saying, oh, I'm not one of those, but you're a man of like passions. I mean, this is the same man that after a great victory at Mount Carmel runs because a woman threatens him. Runs because, I mean, hello, they just slew all these prophets of Baal. He mocked them. I mean, these are men that, guess what? They actually had weapons on them. They had knives. They were cutting themselves. Probably with knives, stones, who knows? I mean, they were cutting themselves. They could have immediately, as they've done in Mexico, preachers mentioned it, how this priest or somebody sits there and says, stirs up the people, kill this missionary, and they'll go out and machete a missionary. These prophets could have said, hey, you know what? He's right there. Elijah's right there. Remember the one that we were all looking for? Everybody was looking for, the king was looking for? There he is right there. Go kill him. But they didn't do that because they took that challenge that Elijah put forth. And you know what? He prayed. God sent rain. God answered the prayer. And the next thing you know, we see him after that running from a woman. Running from the queen because fearful of his life. And now they seek to kill me also. The only one left, you know. Started having a pity party. And God was like, what are you doing here? You know what? You can be in that moment of prayer, praying, laying your plight before the Lord. And all of a sudden God says, what are you worried about? You've got to, it sounds like this prayer is a worrying, you're pretty worried. And he can give you that peace. Some people talk about it like praying through, you know, I prayed until I prayed through. I don't know what they prayed through. Maybe prayed through the night, prayed through the day, I don't know what they prayed through. You know what I've done? I prayed through a storm. Who's been driving on the road and just decided that they were going to be a daredevil and they weren't going to pull off the side of the road and just wait it out? That's me. I mean, I tend to just, if we don't stop, then it doesn't last as long. Because if I keep moving, eventually I'm getting out of this storm, unless it's actually going with me. And, you know, I just got, you know, what is it? Charlie Brown with the storm cloud right over his head and he steps out and it scoots over. But I've prayed, Lord, keep these wheels on the road, not on the water. Get me through, you know, let me have, I'm sorry. I apologize. I will get new tires. Once I get out of this alive, you know. But you pray, and the Lord, all of a sudden, you get this peace that, okay, God's got this. He knows. He's got me through this. You know, he's gotten the children of Israel. I love that. This is what I think about. The Lord, he said, you want to get across this? I got this. And he parted the waters. And he got him through it. So I'm like, Lord, part these waters and let me get through. Praying. We need to make sure that we are people of prayer. I mean, it's nice. It is nice that when you have somebody that you can call on and say, could you please pray for me? Could you please pray for me? And that person says, yeah, what's it about? No, that's not so nice. Sometimes it's like, no, I don't need to share it all with you. I mean, seriously, I really need you to be praying for me. Just keep my family in prayer. Why? What's going on? We don't need to go. I tell you what, you go to God, you know, for me regularly. Yeah. Oh, I pray. Yeah, that's a lot of, you'll get that. I do pray for you, brother. Yes, I know. But I need you to specifically, purposely pray for me. Keep me in mind. I've got a decision to make. I've got some things going on. Prayer. We need to pray for not only ourselves, we need to pray for others. We need to be people of prayer. And when you have somebody that you can count on to be praying for you, call them up. Tell them to be praying for you. Because listen, let me tell you something. You can get to a place where all of a sudden you're like, my spiritual walk, things aren't right. Things aren't going right. And then all of a sudden you say, let's see, yeah, the pulse is there. They've even got the little machines that you prick your finger and you get the blood. And then you put the little tester in there. And I hated those things because all those little bitty, you know, things, they end up everywhere at my house. They're all over the place. You know, the vacuum cleaner. What is that? Oh, it's another one of those little plastic things. Either the heads or whatnot, the things. I know they've got the machine where you pop your finger on it. But you find out, uh-oh, my sugars are too high or they're too low. You know. But you all of a sudden say, you know what? Have I prayed about this? I have not. Somewhere I've been falling short in my prayer life. I haven't had a time where I just, me and the Lord. Now it's easy to say, okay, well, you know what? We have that prayer time at the table. Really? Thanking God for what you're about to receive, you know? Thank you for this food. That's awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad you're being thankful for that. But that ought not be the only time you pray. You know, there ought to be a time where you get alone with God. Well, God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. Yeah, but he wants to hear from you. You know, some things need to change. Some things need to change when you examine yourself and you realize there's something not right. You see, as we get older, guess what? We deteriorate. We begin to fall apart. So guess what? Some things need to change, right? I mean, either you need to get some things more into your body that your body's not getting. You need to work on something. You need to, you know what? There's a thing called atrophy, you know, where your muscles can atrophy. They just fall apart. They get weaker. You know, you don't do the things you used to do anymore. Oh, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. Well, what do you do now for it? I mean, what do you do now in that area? Oh, I don't do anything. Well, that's going to fall apart. It's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. So what are you doing about it? Guess what? Your prayer life at one time, I mean, you were on the mountaintop or you were on the cliff. You were in the cave as the wind came by rushing and you were a prayer warrior. You were a fighter. I mean, you would ask. And God would answer. I mean, you could actually get a hold of God and move the hand of God. I mean, it was like, you were like, wow, I pray and I really feel the presence of God as I'm speaking to him, as I'm just pleading and crying out to him and thanking him and praising him for his goodness and just speaking of his glory, that all of a sudden that, man, the Lord just meets with me. It's like that cloud as it came down over the tabernacle and there was no room for anybody else. And guess what? It just so happens that God has just met and he's got me there before the throne. And it's just me and the Lord. And he speaks to me. And it's like, oh, it's incredible. Is that still going on? Well, no, it's become a just a regular thing. It's kind of, yeah, I do. I pray. Well, guess what? Step it up. Maybe you need that extra dose. Maybe you need that extra, you know, extra couple steps, you know. Spiritually, something needs to change. Self-examination, our prayer, our prayer life, our Bible reading, our Bible time. I'll tell you something, that when the Lord said that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, I always think about a surgeon. I always think about a surgeon, how they just take that scalpel and they cut through your flesh. And all of a sudden, they get in there, they find and locate this one item right here, and they take it and remove it from your body. There's somebody here that's been having a bout of cancer, and I was sorry. So overjoyed to see him. But surgeons will go in and they will cut out a cancer. Sometimes they don't get it all. That's true. They'll cut out, for me, I mean, I'm talking at death's door. They took my appendix. Y'all are like, you don't even need your appendix. It's got no purpose. Well, if it ain't got no purpose, then why God put it in me? Hello? I mean, seriously? I'll tell you one thing. It felt like it was killing me. I'm at work, and I'm like, what side is your appendix on? Does anybody here know? Anybody? Where is it? I think it's on your left side. It's on your left side. Okay, well, oh, no. Okay, the pain's over here. What else is over there on this side? Finally, somebody goes, oh, wait, you know what? I had my appendix taken out. I'm like, you did? There's got to be a scar. Tell me where the scar is. You know, they go to looking and they're like, oh, yeah, it's right over here. I was like, oh, the mine's probably there, too. I think I'm hurt. I got to go. My brother found me laid over a Burger King table because I thought I'm going to see the king soon. So I might as well get ready. So I'm laying there at Burger King. I had given up. I was dead. That's it. I can't. I was trying to walk to the hospital. I was over there. What is it? West Telemarketing over there, Fredericksburg, you know, way down there, I-10. I was going to walk down Babcock because you get on Fredericksburg, Babcock. There's hospitals over there. It's just right down the road. That's my plan. I wasn't making it. I was dying. That's it. Here's where I'm going to do it. Burger King. Only by the grace of God, I mean it. I'm telling you. Like when Philip was told by God, the Spirit of God, because Philip was prayed up. He was right with God. He was a healthy Christian. And God said, go over here to meet this man unto this chariot. You know, well, guess what? God told my brother, go to Burger King. Your brother's dying. He did. I have no idea how he showed up at Burger King and found me. It was amazing. It blew me. I'm serious. That's, to me, that was God. I just take off walking. That's it. Going to a hospital. He goes into a Burger King and finds me laying on a table. Hello? Wow. Anyways, so he takes me to the hospital. I'm dying. I'm like, that's it. I'm dead. He took me to the Women's and Children's Hospital. I'm really dead, you know. He's like, my brother, he's here. Is he having a baby? No. It's appendix? Yeah, we only deliver babies, not appendixes. So they took, they said, there's one in the hospital behind us. He took me over there. They removed my appendix. We missed our first Valentine's banquet that we had planned on going to. I actually sat there, laying there. Go to the banquet, honey. She's like, I'm not leaving you in the hospital. What will I look like? I walk into the banquet, you know, and you're, oh, your husband? Oh, yeah, he's getting his heart cut out. Oh, well, I mean, it's actually an appendix, but felt like something huge to me. I found out that it's a scar about that big. That's it. I'd never been under the knife. That big. Really? What a baby. I'm serious. I could not believe. I was like, this isn't even going to be cool. I can't even claim that this is a knife. Like, somebody stuck me with a knife. I mean, no, this is a lame. Hello? But guess what? They got it out in time. I was fine. Let me tell you something. You're going to need the Word of God sometime. Actually, you're going to need it all the time. But you know what? The Word of God can say, this is what it is right here, and we're going to get it out. Come on. This is exactly what it is. Lord, reveal unto me something in my life that I need to get right with you, that I need to, and all of a sudden, God does it. And that is, I've been right there on that pew, on my knees, begging God, Lord, just show it to me. If you show it to me, if you reveal it unto me, I will. Oh, that. Oh, wow. So that's it. So that's got to go. All right. I mean, he'll give me scripture that says, this is what it is. You wanted it? Here it is. And what do you do then? Like a lot of people, okay, doc, I get it, but I'm not giving it up. I'm just going to go ahead and keep that. I'm just going to go ahead and head on out with it. Not going to worry about it. Listen, people, God will reveal it through His Word. Pray and ask Him, Lord, I don't feel so good. What's going on in my life? What's happening? Sometimes it's something like that, and sometimes it's something you need. He's like, well, this is what you need. Really? I need to go out and make some phone calls? Listen, there are some things, prayer, the Bible, that self-examination. Listen, if your prayers aren't being answered, well, what are some other things? We say, okay, well, we've taken our pulse. We've taken our temperature. Let's see. Are there any? Oh, wow. All these legs. What? Something's wrong. Why am I so, what's going on with these legs? Well, are you getting out and telling anybody about the Lord? Are you witnessing? You don't always have to do it on your feet. Well, Brother Pigeot, you don't understand. I can't walk. I walk from my car to the store, and I find the little scooter, and I drive that thing around. I know I've done it. I've had sprained ankles. I get in the scooter. People are looking at me like I'm a nut. You look perfectly healthy. Show them my swollen ankle. Really? That looks healthy? Doesn't look right? Leave me alone. Let me cruise around the store. Grab that up there for me. I can't get it. But guess what? You know what? You can be at your house and, junk mail. Track. There you go. Oh, another piece of junk. They give you free letters sometimes to send back. You know, they give you an envelope to send back to them. Send this envelope back with your application for such and such because you're pre-approved for blah, blah, blah. And it's like a free envelope. It's already got the postmark on it. Track. There you go. You can make random phone calls. Hey, I know you know who this is because my name showed up on your caller ID because now they're doing that thing. Well, listen, I'm not really, you know, routing my number through some other person. No, this is actually me. So let me tell you something. Have you thought about the fact that God loves you? Have you thought about the fact that, you know, somebody out there randomly has just called you up to tell you that the Lord loves you? And let me tell you how much He loves you. You can do this. Guess what? It's not against the law. You know how I know this? Because I get calls all the time. Hello? Yeah, hey, how's it going? I just wanted to tell you that I'm with Solar such and such. And I'm like, no, I don't want it Solar. It's a recording. They call all the time.
Hello, this is Mr. Smith.
This is not a Mr. Smith. I can tell you that for sure. I'm telling you, listen, get out, witness, tell somebody, talk, open your mouth, hand out a tract. That is not hard to do. How many of you have had a tract thrown in your face? Huh? I have. I've had a tract thrown in my face. We went out to a neighborhood to hit before our Fiesta Track Marathon. So guess what? Oh, yeah, we've been going out all this time, and here we are. We're at the culmination of the Saturday, and we're going to go out, and we're going to just bombard the whole city, and we're all going into different areas. We've got different crew leaders and team leaders, and we've got these groups that are going to go out, and they're, woo, we're going to go out and just hit the world and spread the gospel. Amen. And, okay, but the Fiesta area is closed off right now, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going? Oh, we're going to just go into these little court areas that are close by. Okay, yes, and just pass out some tracks. All right, yes, fired up. Here you go. Hey, sir, here, I want you to have this track. Bam. Wow, talk about a buzzkill. This dude just threw a track in my face. Really? The guy just wadded up the track. I mean, I'm being like cool and kind of, I'm not. I mean, it's like you're going straight to hell unless you read this. I swear, you'll burn where you stand. No, I'm not doing. I wasn't doing anything crazy, getting all wild. And I was just like, so I grabbed another track because it wasn't hard. And I said, when you get a chance, when you can. Read this. You don't have to do it right now. He took the track, looked at it, and he goes, I can't read. That makes a lot of sense. You may have gotten offended that I handed you something and told you to read it. Well, I don't know you, and I didn't know you couldn't read. Let me tell you something. It's not really hard to pass out a tract. Most places, most people, they'll take it without even knowing that they took it. You know, it's like, here you go. Here, this is for you. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, thank you. Oh, it's like, oh, yeah. You know, but you passed out a tract. That's awesome. That's good. Get out there. Let's pass out some tracts. We also have our church attendance. Guess what? Everybody knows that if you're sick, you ought to go where? To a doctor, to a clinic, to a hospital. If this is a medical emergency, call 911 because you may not be able to get there and we will come and get you. If this is a spiritual emergency, please call 673-7030. Liberty Baptist Church on Sunday morning. We will come and get you. Hello, we have bus routes. We actually have people that, out of the kindness of their hearts, matter of fact, okay, good, okay, never mind, I know where she's at. Out of the kindness of their hearts, we'll go pick people up and bring them to church. Listen, we need to be in the house of God. We need to be amongst other Christians. We need to be where we need to be, and that's here on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Remember, three to thrive. You want to be healthy? Guess what? Three to thrive. Actually, not just being healthy, you can thrive. You can actually become stronger. Exhortation, edification. I mean, wow, you can get that here. Oh, every time I go to church, though, it just depresses me. Maybe you're sitting on the wrong side of the church. Try the other side. Maybe the weather's better over there. Who knows? I don't know. Just come to church. Be in church. Listen, friends. Here's the one that gets everybody. Give. Give to the work of God. Yes, God doesn't need your money, but it's going to help you. It's going to be a blessing when you realize that I've invested. I've invested not just the tithe. Come on, go further. when you've invested in this church, when you've invested in the children of God, the people of God, the work of God, it makes a big difference. I used to sit there and think to myself, man, that is incredible. Every day they use the trash can I bought the church. Oh, it's awesome. Every day somebody goes over there and throws something in it. And you know what? I bought that big bad brute or Rubbermaid. I forgot which one it was. I bought it. You know why? Because our other one was falling apart and leaking out the bottom. And it was just a mess. And I was thinking, we need a new trash can. And you know what? I'm going to get a new trash can. And so I, in the bottom of it, I wrote my initials. I'm just kidding. I didn't mark it with my name. I bought it for the church so that the church could use it because the church needed it. And every time I came to the church, I said, a part of me is here at Liberty Baptist Church. That's why y'all can't kick me out. I got too many things around here that are my stuff that I invested in. It's like, fine, I'm leaving. I'm taking this and this. And I bought this too, so I'm taking this with me. Oh, yeah, I got this mic stand here. I mean, no, I wouldn't be doing that. But you'd want to think that there's a little bit of you throughout this building, on those buses, that you've got a part in this work. There's a lot of y'all out there in the field. You know, y'all had a part in us getting a lot of that work done.
We still need more work done, just to let you know. But
anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that you please help us to examine ourselves, Lord. And these basic things, Lord, help us to make sure that we're on top of those things, that we're on track with those things, that we're keeping those things up. And, Lord, please help us to strive further, Lord, and press harder. We love you. Thank you. Bless so much this day, we ask and pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.